It's good to be here today in class. So we've been studying the book of Revelation. So let's go right there. Now, I will admit that most Bible colleges, most college I went to, Heil Zandt, most colleges, they're not going to teach exactly like I'm teaching the book of Revelation. But I have a problem. I'm a Baptist, and I go by the Bible. And when the Bible tells me something, I have to stay with it, not necessarily what I've heard, even from other Baptists. So the book of Revelation, a very important book to understand. And we've been studying Revelation chapter 6. And how many know what the seals are in Revelation chapter 6? And they're not those animals that walk around. You know what a seal is? Raise your hand if you know what a seal is, all right? What's a seal in Revelation chapter 6? Bob Watson?
There are events that must take place before the wrath of God comes.
All right. There's a big scroll here in Revelation 6, and it's a sealed up scroll. And if you open those seals, then there's writing inside this scroll. And what is that writing? It has to do with the wrath of God. There are seven seals, and after the seventh seal is open, it's like a calm before the storm. And then in chapter 8 of Revelation, the wrath of God is poured out, and it's signaled by different trumpets. When the trumpet was sounded in the Old Testament, it was a call to the assembly to assemble. It was also a call for war, to battle. And the last trump is not the seventh trumpet. The last trump is a statement that God's wrath will be poured out. That'll happen in Revelation chapter 8. But in Revelation chapter 6, you have these seals. That's why the seals come before the trumpets. The seals must be opened. They are prior events that must take place before, get this, the wrath of God is poured out. Now, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And so we are not going to be here for the wrath of God. If you're saved, you are going to be delivered by rapture before the wrath. God has not appointed us to wrath, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but to obtain salvation or rapture or deliverance from the wrath of God when Jesus comes back and raptures us. But God has not said that these prior events called the seals will not be something that you will not know and see if you're here during that time. Matthew 24. I believe Matthew 24 is for Christians. It was given to Christians. And it's teaching so that we can prepare for the Lord to come back and know when His coming draws near. And Revelation 6 and these seals parallels Matthew 24. And so, if you look at Revelation chapter 6, and we have the first seal opened up, you have what kind of horse comes out riding in Revelation 6? Yes, Cynthia?
A white horse.
A white horse. Yeah, it's not pale, it's white. Later on, a pale horse comes. Yeah, it's a white horse that comes. And in Matthew 24, Jesus says the first thing to look for as we come to the end times will be false Christ. And so that white horse goes along with false Christ. We also said it goes along with a false peace, right? There's going to be a false peace in the Middle East, and it's going to be between Israel and the European Union. And I was just last night looking up a bunch of stuff, and my printer wasn't working. I was going to print it out. But we are now seeing the revival of the Roman Empire in something called the 1995 Barcelona process, where the European Union is joining the Middle East together with itself. And they're doing that now through the European Neighborhood Partnership. And they are tying it all together by 2010. That's supposed to be all really tightly together, so that just like the European Union has no tariffs and they can trade freely and they have a big empire that's uniting, even though they're having problems with it. That's the clay part of it, you know. They have problems uniting together. But they are in union, so the Middle East is going to be part of that. And the Bible says that there's going to be a false peace between the Jewish Antichrist and the leader of the European Union, which is the beast. And that is going to give them a sense of security and protection and allow them to rebuild their temple. And when that happens, you see, that's this first seal being opened up. And at the same time, there'll be a false Christ, not just one false Christ, but many false Christs. And what's going to happen during this time is there's going to be all these false Christs, and these false Christs are going to take advantage of the temple being rebuilt and the opportunity for the temple to be rebuilt, and they're going to say, I'm the Messiah. You know, follow me. Follow me. And a lot of people are going to be confused. And they're going to, and Jesus said, don't be deceived during that time, because people are going to be so excited that they're going to think Christ is here right now. It's the beginning of this time of the seals. Well, he's here right now. Look at what's happening. And even Christians, if they're not careful, they're going to be deceived to follow these false religious leaders. So Jesus said, don't be deceived by any of these leaders. Christ's not going to come that way. When he comes, he's going to come in the sky. The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be raised to meet him in the air. Don't be deceived by that. That's not me coming back again. Any man coming up to you saying, I'm Jesus or I'm Christ. Don't believe it. He's a liar. He's a false Christ, okay? He may not be the Antichrist, but he is an Antichrist, all right? By the way, the Pope, he says that he can forgive sin. He can touch the priest and they can forgive sin. He is an Antichrist, see? He is a false Christ. He might wear a white, nice robe and all that, but if he says he can forgive your sin, he's an Antichrist. He's taken the place of Jesus Christ. And these individuals are going to try to take the place of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a whole lot of them right after this first seal opens up. And they're going to deceive people. All right? And then a second seal is opened up. And we talked about that. That brings forth a red horse. And that is the seal of what?
War.
War is going to open up. And the war in Revelation chapter 6 is called Mega. Mega. You know what Mega stands for? Great. And that's what World War I was called, the Great War. I believe this will be a world war. It will start with Egypt attacking Israel, and then Syria will attack Israel. And President Bush said when Israel is attacked, that will start World War III. This will begin the World War III that's going to come in the Middle East, and it's going to be a war there, and it will spread, because once that happens, the Jewish Antichrist is going to run away, like Jesus said. He's the wolf in sheep's clothing. He's going to run away. He's not the true shepherd. He's going to run away to Europe. He's going to get an army. And Daniel 11 said he's going to invade back into the Middle East with that army. He's going to defeat Syria. He's going to come down south and Egypt. He'll run over Egypt. He will not go into Jordan. One of the reasons I believe he won't go into Jordan, that's where the people are going to flee during the tribulation to run away from the Antichrist and from taking a mark of the beast. They're going to run into southern Jordan and they're going to hide in caves there and so forth. And so the Antichrist is not going to be able to take the European armies into Jordan. He will go north to Syria and then down south to Egypt. While he's in Egypt, according to Daniel 11, he'll hear tidings out of the east, Iran, I believe, and out of the north, the former Soviet Union, possibly Russia, and they will begin an invasion, Ezekiel 38 and 39. They're going to begin that invasion. Why? Because they want the Middle East. They don't want Europe to take the Middle East. When they go there, the Jewish Antichrist is going to turn around where he is in Egypt with great fury to stop him. Here we see like a world war going on. What's going to stop the allies of Russia, Iran, and Turkey, and all these countries that will be coming in to take over Israel? Cynthia? Yeah, God himself is going to send fire. And that will be a great a time of judgment from God himself. He's going to send fire, and he's going to judge those countries. Now, whether he'll use a nuclear exchange in that, I can't say, but certainly people are going to know it's God that did that, and that God defended Israel. And so once that happens, the Bible says it'll take 7 months to bury the dead soldiers that are rotting. Their bodies are rotting all over Israel. Just tons of Russian soldiers, Soviet Union soldiers, huge army. And only 1/6 of them will survive to go back north. And that will effectively crush the power of the former USSR. Right now under Vladimir Putin, the former Soviet Union is coming back into power. You know, they thought the Cold War was over. Don't kid yourself. They were just fooling us. They were fooling us. They have a lot of power. And so that's going to be World War III over there in the Middle East. And that's going to be the red horse of war that will happen during the 7 years there that lead to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, what part of the 7 years are we in at this point when that second seal is opened? What part of it would you say? Yes?
The first 3.5 years.
That's right. The first 3.5 years. You know, people say that first 3.5 years is peace. No, it's not peace. The first seal is peace. That peace is not going to last for 3.5 years. It probably will last part of a year. And then this red horse, then the next seal is going to open up. All right. Now, following that, we have a third seal. Okay. And that third seal, when it opens up, you've got a what color horse coming out? Yes. It's a black horse. All right. Now, that signifies, and you can go to Matthew 24. You don't have to turn there right now. It'll follow right in order. False Christ, wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That's world war, coalitions of day. And then the next thing Jesus said is famines. Famines. And that's exactly what you have in Revelation 6 with the opening of the third seal. You have massive famines. Now, right now we're talking about food shortages. Right now we're talking about if we attacked Iran, which is being rumored that it could happen, there could be a stoppage of oil in the Persian Gulf temporarily in the Strait of Hormuz, for instance. And that this would bring on an economic crisis. We're already, gas is already over $4 a gallon. In Europe, it's $9 a gallon, and they're burning their cars in protest over there. And, you know, this is all centered in the Middle East, and this is precipitating food problems and the rise in food prices. So we're not very far away from all of this stuff. And the Lord's coming. We're not far away from that then. And so there's going to be this famine. And this war is going to bring about a terrible famine. We ain't seen nothing yet. This is really a strong famine. And it'll be centered in the Middle East. And it will be a very strong thing. And we talked about that, haven't we? We've talked about all of that. And I won't say anything more about that right now because we want to get into today's lesson, which is... All right. Good. Then today, we're going to look today at number 4, the seal number 4, which is in Revelation 6, 7 and 8. So let's look at that, Revelation 6, 7 and 8. It says there in verse 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see,' and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with beasts of the earth." Now, this is a result of this war. Just like the famines and just like the other things, this is a result of the war. So after the war, you have famine, you have these tremendous food shortages, and it costs a lot of money just to get a meal. It'll cost maybe anywhere from $60 to $100 to get one meal. That's a lot of money for a meal. And so there you've got the food shortages, but now you're going to have famines after this world war, and the Bible talks about that. And also in Matthew 24, Jesus not only talked about famines and earthquakes after this war, but he talked about something else. And you're going to see it here in Revelation. Just like I said, it follows right in order. What is it that he talks about after the war, other than just famines in Matthew 24? Probably, we haven't really taught about it, but maybe you remember it from your own reading. Yes.
Plagues.
Yeah, plagues. Pestilence. What are pestilence? Well, pestilence are like killer diseases. Pestilence are like smallpox or something like that. That a lot of these countries, the poor man's nuclear bomb is biological warfare, and a lot of these countries have biological toxins, and they'll let them loose. Warfare. I heard some of these countries in the Middle East, they were talking about putting these things in their missiles and shooting them at Israel. So they would shoot in Israel this stuff. And so this is part of this aftermath of war during the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 7 years. Countdown to Armageddon. This will be one of those things that will be prevalent, biological diseases and so forth going on, especially, all right, in the countries of the Middle East, in the countries of Syria and Israel and Egypt, Northern Africa, possibly Eastern Europe, in former Soviet Union states, Turkey, Iran, all these countries. They're involved in this war, and so there's going to be a great deal of this going on. Now, it's interesting here. I want you to notice it says in verse 8 that the name of that the person that sat on that horse was death, and that means death by this kind of disease, like the plague. And hell followed. That's simply where you go after you die if you're not saved. Amen. You go to hell. And so it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger. So what you have here is different than later on. Later on in chapter 8, when the wrath of God is being poured out, in chapter 9, when the wrath of God is being poured out, you have one third of the population of the world involved in God's judgment. Here you have one fourth of the land area of the earth. It's the earth, it's where people live, the inhabited earth, where people are dying from sword and from hunger and from these plagues or killer diseases. And that's going on over one fourth of the world's land area. Well, now when we think about all the countries involved in this great war that we're talking about, that may add up to one-fourth of the land area. If you look at Egypt, and you look at Syria, and you look at Northern Africa, and you look at the former Soviet Union, and you look at all these countries, that adds up to about one-fourth of the land area. So that's where it's going to be. Now, here's the thing, though. Some people say, well, what about the United States? Do you see the United States in prophecy? You know, I really don't see it spelled out. It doesn't really say for sure. But go over to Ezekiel 39 a minute. This invasion when the former Soviet Union attacks Israel. Ezekiel 39, and look at verse 4. Ezekiel 39 and verse 4. And notice what it says there. Now, this is speaking of, as I said, Turkey and the former Soviet Union attacking Israel. And here's what it says in Ezekiel 39, verse 4. It says, thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, that's the former Soviet Union, and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, that's the thing that kind of disturbs me a little bit there. Carelessly in the isles. Part of this war, this is going to be, like I said, a world war. Even God is going to be involved in it, sending fire. And there may be nuclear weapons there, but certainly God is going to send some kind of fiery judgment there. And he says, not only will the former Soviet Union, may God get this, but he says, among them that dwell carelessly on the isles. Now, I looked that word isles up. It means coastlands. Coastlands, those that live along the coastland that are distant from Israel. Okay? Now, the word carelessly bothers me. What does that connote to you if somebody is living on the coast carelessly? Yes?
All I can think of is that people, they know that they shouldn't be living there, or like the, it's like telling somebody you shouldn't live in a certain neighborhood because it's not a good neighborhood. Or also it could mean that they're like tented out, like, you know, kind of,
okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah.
Well, in the footnote that I have in my Bible, it says security.
Security. Yeah. It's a...
people don't want to get involved in their caring for their own affairs and not someone else. Like the world today, they want to leave Israel alone, let them fight their own battle, and just worry about our own security. So they're careless in caring for the needs of others.
Caring for the needs of others. You're all from Florida. How many have been to Florida? Okay. How many have been to California? Both have coastland along the ocean, Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean. I was to California last year. I went up and down Malibu and looked at houses in Malibu, $5 million houses, $30 million houses, just having fun on a vacation looking at these houses, you know. And you know what I saw there? Those people are totally carefree. Who's that guy? I'm trying to think of his name. He's an actor. He's an actor. Can't think of his name. Well, that's good. I don't watch movies at the movie theater. But he's Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. And I heard he goes surfing every day in Malibu. He spends most of his day, he just surfs. And one guy, a news guy, heard this in a news report. The news guy said, I'd like to have his life. He goes surfing every day, and he makes multi-millions of dollars a year, you know, just surfing every day, and then he acts once in a while, you know, and, you know, you think about that, and when I went to California, that's the way people live there. It's just careless. I mean, they work and so forth, but there's a lot of people just having fun along the oceans there, and look at the problems in the Middle East, people dying and being blown up. And people in America just carefree. They said now a lot of people have a pre-9/11 mentality where they feel like they fell on September the 10th. You know, just we're not worried anymore. You know, you can say what you want about President Bush, but he took it to those terrorists. You know, they can talk all the trash they want to talk. Bill Clinton never did anything. He never did anything. He blew up an aspirin factory over in the Sudan, you know. He didn't do anything. He sold out secrets to the Chinese. He was a traitor. But President Bush, you say what you want, but he went after them. He went after them. He went after them on their territory. And they say he didn't kill Al-Qaeda, he didn't kill Osama bin Laden. Well, maybe he didn't get bin Laden, but he got two-thirds of the top leadership of Al-Qaeda, a whole list of them. He killed them. He killed Zarqawi. They blew him away. He's killed all those guys over there. Unbelievable amount of people killed. And her son was killed in Iraq with five other guys in September of 2005. He wasn't dwelling carelessly. Yeah.
Just a footnote, because when you were talking about that, you know,
yeah.
Eric was obviously very much for the war in the Middle East, or for the mission. He wasn't so much he wanted to go to war, as you know from his poem. But I found a paper you wrote for school.
Yeah.
While he was in college. Here he went to a secular university, and he was writing papers against homosexuality. But he wrote one, Why Should He Not Go to War?
Yeah.
He went through why it was that he felt that we should not go to war.
Yeah. Everybody wants liberty.
Why shouldn't we not want to go to war?
Right.
Is what he was really saying.
Yeah, I understand.
And I want to get a copy of that for you.
I'd love to have that. Everybody wants liberty, but there are few real patriots like her son that pay the price. That kid paid the price. Young man, 21 years old, paid the price. And he knew what he was doing. He knew the risk. I met with him for a whole night just to talk about the financial aspects if he would die in Iraq. 21-year-old kid talking to me all night about it and making sure things were set up because he said, I may not be coming back. He knew what he was doing, and you can agree or disagree or hogwash or that, but I'm just going to tell you right now, we live carelessly around here. We think freedom is free. And these liberals, I tell you, you know I don't like liberals. When I say I love everybody, Christ died, I'll win anybody to Christ, liberal or not, I love you. I just don't want you running my country because you're going to kill people, liberals are. You know, the liberals have an idea that we should ban guns. And I'm so glad the United States Supreme Court just voted the Second Amendment. By the way, if you're not familiar with this, they voted that the United States Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision just voted that the Second Amendment of the Constitution says that we have a right to bear arms. Not just some kind of militia, but the citizens of the United States, you and I have a right to have guns. You say, why? Because the police can't be everywhere. You remember Hurricane Katrina? When Hurricane Katrina took place, listen to me, people were going around and they were looting and they were taking from people. And they come in and rape your daughters. What are you going to do if they come in and rape your daughter? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll take out my gun and shoot them through the right between the eyes. I had a guy break in my house one time. I pulled a gun on him. Now, he was going around my family going to do something with my kids. I pulled a gun on him and said, get out of here, get out of here. Now, I didn't squeeze off on him. But I told him, get out of here, and he left. How many times does that happen where a cop's not there and somebody that's a law-abiding citizen protects their family and that nobody gets killed, nobody hears about it? How many times? You hear about it when the crook comes and shoots somebody. They're not going to listen to your laws anyway, your gun bans. They don't care about it. They don't care about the law. So here's what the framers of the Constitution said. They said, we believe that one of the greatest defenses against criminals is not just the police. It's people that are protecting themselves. That's called self-defense. Now, when somebody breaks into my house, tries to rape my daughter, kill my kids, I'm going to defend them. I'm going to defend them because I am a governing authority in that home. Now, if somebody breaks into my country, a whole bunch of people, that's called war. That's called war. And the Bible says in Romans 13 that we do not bear the sword in vain. All right? That is not a dirty word. War is not a dirty word. When somebody comes over here and they hit you and kill 3,000 people and drop your buildings, you don't just stand there and say, love them, like Jimmy Carter did back in the 70s. He didn't do squat. And he's still not doing squat. And you know what? I mean, it's just crazy. And so here's what you see over in Revelation chapter 6. You see this war going on, and you see famine, and you see sword, and you even see, if you read Revelation 6 there, I even see the animals are getting into the act. Look at this. You might have to shoot some animals in the gizzard. Go to Revelation chapter 6. You might have to shoot somebody's crazy dog. Revelation chapter 6. Here's what it says. It says to kill with sword. Now here the war's already taken place, so I take it that's people with guns that are coming and they're trying to take your food away from you. Right? Illegally. And with hunger, that's you know, starving. And with death, that's sickness and unsanitary conditions after the war. And with beasts of the earth. The beasts of the earth are so hungry, they're trying to get food. And they're coming after you, trying to kill you. And there is death over this this fourth part of the earth that's going on during this time, and so that is all going to happen under this fourth seal over this area of Turkey and Iran and Israel and Egypt and Syria and the former Soviet Union, all of that, and possibly involving Canada, the U.S. places like that, along the coasts, that's where it's most dangerous. Iran is trying to get right now a bomb that they could put in a missile that could hit our east coast. And so, you see, the coasts are very dangerous places. But people that live along the coast, they're the most carefree, aren't they? They're the people that think, oh, everything's great. There's something about the beach, you know. Just relax and take it easy. And on the beach, I've seen it in Florida. I've seen it in California. So what I'm saying is that we have to live and live close to God and realize that we need the Lord. And we need to walk close to the Lord. And what I'm saying is, by the way, we need to realize that who's in the Supreme Court is important. If Barack Obama gets elected, he says he's going to put liberals in the court, like the people that would vote against you having the right to bear arms and having guns. Like the people that would be pro-abortion, and that he voted for partial birth abortion. He voted for abortion. Now, if you vote for somebody that votes for that, you yourself are not voting for Jesus. You're voting against Jesus. Simple. And so, we need to realize that the protection that we have in the United States are from God. And whether you agree with President Bush and whether you agree with going to war in Iraq or not, all right. But I'm just simply saying to you, if you're going to have freedom, if you're going to have liberty, blood is going to have to be spilled. You're not going to get it by just sitting back, because evil men will take it from you. They will come in and take it. That's the world we live in. And you've got to fight to preserve your liberty and your freedom. And Americans don't like that. We don't want to do that. I'm sure she didn't want to give up her son, my daughter's fiance. My daughter didn't want to give up her future husband. But we've paid for that in that sense. And it's not just this war. It's been wars all the way along. We just had July the 4th. We just celebrated. We had the firecrackers go off. I was just talking to David Rivera's mother, the guy that was there. And she was just telling me there's two guys that got wounded in Afghanistan, part of her family. Again, she said her son was calling her up one time, and while he's called her up, the bullets are going off. He said, Mom, he said, I got to hang up. I'm getting shot at. And she didn't hear from him for a few days. And she said to me, July the 4th, I think it was last year, her son, David Rivera, who was right there when Eric was killed, the fireworks went off and he hit the deck. He went right down the ground. And people were laughing. Oh, boy, you're afraid of fireworks, huh? Yeah. And he got up and he kind of laughed. Yeah, well, you know. Think of what he's been through. He carried Billy Evans out. Looking up at his blue eyes, looking up at him while his bowels were running out of his body in Iraq. Billy's still alive, carrying his buddy out. I mean, we need to realize that this country, we dwell carelessly, but it costs when you have wicked people like Ahmadinejad, who says that he will destroy Israel. When you have a wicked man like Vladimir Putin, who's a KGB operative, a wicked man. Bush said he looked into his eyes, and I guess he saw good in his eyes. I don't see good in his eyes. I see evil. And all I'm saying to you is that evil is real, and there's a reason why our founding fathers put that in the Constitution. Now, God forbid it would happen to you in your house or mine, but it may happen, and we have to realize that is important, and freedom is not free, and so. I'll tell you this, you may not like everything that's happened in the last 8 years of President Bush since 9/11, but we have not had another 9/11 attack on our territory since he's been in there. You can't argue with that. And don't you think that's just coincidence? Quinky didn't. Oh, no, they're very busy with that man. We've dealt some damage ourselves over there. The most powerful country in the world. We use that power. The Bible says you don't bear that sword in vain. But listen to me. You get some sob sister weakling in there. Some wishy-washy. One side saying I'm going to pull them out. Another side I'm going to keep them in. Playing politics. I'm going to tell you right now. Those people, they will hit you. They will hit you. You know, it's like Louis with Brian. He didn't hit him with that water balloon. He said, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Our brother Bob, he knew brother Bob would be loving to him. So all I'm saying is that there is going to be this war. It's going to come. And it's going to come in the Middle East. And it may even affect us over here. And we need to be aware of that, all right? Let's see, we're out of time, aren't we? All right. Now, next week, I want you to keep this. Please bring it back with you. Next week, we're going to show how this leads to the Great Tribulation, all right? Right in the middle of the 7 years. All right, we'll stop right there. And good to have you here.